Welcome, everybody. This is How to English. Teach and Learn with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary.
Here we are again, Gav.
We are back. And this time, Em, the topic is comprehension. Do you get what I mean?
Oh, nice. I like this word. This is a really important word, comprehension.
Important for teachers and learners?
I would say so, but maybe more important for learners? What do you think?
I think we need to define what comprehension is.
Have you got a dictionary definition, Gav, up your sleeve?
Em, I always have a dictionary definition up my sleeve. And today's, which comes from the Concise Oxford English Dictionary, is comprehension, noun, the ability to understand something.
Well, that's nice and easy. Isn't that a nice definition of comprehension? It's easy to comprehend it, which is the verb.
It is. So how can that not be important for both teachers and learners?
I guess it is important for teachers to know what they're teaching before they teach it, but it's very important for your students to understand what you're teaching them. And how do we check this, Gav? How do we know they've understood it?
I think we need to ask lots of questions. We need to check the answers that we're getting from our students to make sure that they really understand what they're reading, what they're listening to. It could be an understanding of grammar, of vocabulary, of a number of different things.
Absolutely agree. Questions are very, very important. But also, I think you need to then have a conversation about the topic or using the grammar somehow so that you can see your students are able to use it.
Hold on, Em. You need to break down these steps for us. You mean you come up against a word or some grammar in context with your student?
Yeah.
And then they look confused, or maybe you think, oh, I need to just check this word. Maybe this is new.
Yeah.
Maybe this language is new for them. I want to be sure that they understand before we continue to the next part of this activity.
Yeah. Quite often I can explain a word. For example, we're talking about a vocabulary word. I can explain what it means. The student will nod and say, yep, okay. Maybe I'll ask a CCQ, which we're going to come to.
CCQ.
I'll ask a comprehension checking question, which may be a yes-no question or an open question, which gets me one step closer. But then I will say to the student, can you use that word in a sentence? And that really confirms that they've understood it, if they can use it in a sentence in a way that's grammatically correct and makes sense.
And they're not just repeating what you told them.
Yeah, it's a new sentence that they've generated for themselves. That is a thorough check of comprehension, in my opinion. And then, of course, do they remember it again a week later?
And when they see that language again in a different context, do they still understand it? Do they get the nuances of that language?
Nice word. There is a lot involved. And you think about this for every word, every new grammar structure, it's vast, isn't it?
But I guess as teachers, you get an instinct about the language that may be new to your students, may be key to understanding that particular sentence, paragraph, or the concept that you're teaching. So there's a little alarm bell that maybe goes off and you think, ah, they're all nodding, they're all smiling, but do they really understand? And that's where, as you said, you might just say, oh, does anybody know this word? How do you describe it? You could perhaps ask them to give you an example sentence where they use it, or then you go ahead with your CCQs.
Yes.
We need a context. We need an article. We need an audio listening task for us to really hammer down.
Hammer down?
Hammer on?
Hammer home?
Hammer home. The concept of comprehension.
Gav, I think we need some practical application to demonstrate comprehension.
And we need to find some resources so we can demonstrate what comprehension is in today's show.
And we need a theme as well, I suppose.
Well, if you ask me, I do have a favourite theme, which we've not talked about for a little while now.
Let's go with that then. What theme would you like to talk about?
I would like to discuss the environment and sustainability.
Right. Well, that's a good thing because luckily enough, today we have a contribution from Deanna, who's from Openshaws English. You can find Deanna on Instagram at Openshaws English.
How do you spell that?
Open. Shores, like seashore, S-H-O-R-E-S, English. You'll find resources supporting students' language learning, self-expression, responsibility and personal growth to give your students confidence in their voice on the world stage.
Have they also got a website, Em?
They have indeed. openshoresenglish.com/english-4-earth, where you can find out more about their course, which is called English for Earth, which is B2 grammar and vocabulary for confident speakers on the world stage. If you're a passionate advocate for the planet and its people, but struggle to articulate your ideas in English, if you want to become a confident leader in your community and push for change on a global scale, then join Openshaw English for their upcoming course, English for Earth for B2 learners.
And I can see from their course it says, study English and practice with like-minded people by becoming part of a growing community committed to building a better, more sustainable world.
So let's get to know Deanna a little bit more.
Hello, Em and Gav. Hello, everyone. This is Deanna with Openshaws English, an online community of sustainable development goals supporters and sustainability professionals who are committed to the exploration of English language through an eco-conscious, earth-friendly lens. I just wanted to take a moment to thank you both for inviting me to speak to the listeners of How to English podcast. I really appreciate the work y'all are doing for the English language learning and teaching community, and it is truly an honor to be able to work with you, so thank you again. What I've got for you today is a little introduction to English for Earth, one of the programs that I offer, and I first want to point out how important it is that we do not detach ourselves from the natural world when we talk about environmental education. That's why for this segment, I've decided to give a little instruction on systems and interconnectivity. And though I do distinguish between man-made and natural systems, I don't mean to suggest that we are separate from the natural world, nor are our systems. In fact, quite the opposite. The very reason we're seeing many of our systems fail today is because we've failed to acknowledge in the past our dependence on Earth for our survival.
Thank you, Deanna. It's great to meet you. You're very welcome to the show. Em, I've been very, very busy, and I have created a worksheet based on Deanna's recording all about Earth systems. Should we take a look at it?
Thanks, Gav. Appreciate your hard work. So I'm going to open that worksheet now. And followers, you can also find the link to the worksheet in the show notes so you can follow along with us.
That sounds like a great interactive activity for both our teacher and learner followers, Em.
I've opened the PDF, Gav, and I can see it's very nice. Nice picture on the right side showing roads and rivers and mountains.
It's very carefully divided into sections. You can see A, B, C, D, E. There's some cool photos that maybe draw you in and get you thinking about the topic of Earth systems. And there's a box in the center, which is a gap fill activity. So hopefully it will be engaging enough for you and the followers.
Let's begin, Gav. Exercise A says, discuss with your partner what the title means to you. So the title of the worksheet is Earth Systems.
Earth Systems. What are Earth Systems, Em? What comes to mind?
Well, I don't think it's solar systems because that's outside the Earth and it's more to do with space. So it's definitely on this planet because I guess Earth with a capital E. I don't know because it's the title, but I think we're talking about the planet Earth. So systems on this earth in the picture, which gives me an idea. It might be about roads. It might be about rivers, how the earth moves things around naturally and possibly how we do that too.
So man-made and natural systems. That is very interesting. Very well described.
It could also be about societal systems, maybe political systems. These are all possible.
I guess that is an Earth system. But when I think of Earth, I'm thinking more physical than social. But then I guess there's going to be a crossover between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on to activity B. It says the words below will be in the listening task. Do you know their meaning? There are 8 words, and the words are impacts, consumer, degradation, contribute, vital, biodiversity, infrastructure, and inadequate. And before we start explaining the words, would you typically start at the beginning of this list with your students?
No, I would probably tell them to choose a word they're confident they know and explain that, because then they've got it right, rather than start with the first one, which they may not know, and then they're saying, I don't know, and that's the first thing they say.
So you might write the words on the board, or the students write it down on a piece of paper or on their computers, and then you just say, choose a word, describe it to me, and then you cross it off and say, that one's done, let's move on to the next one.
Yes, because then when it starts to get quiet, you know that nobody knows the remaining words, and then you don't have to embarrass them by saying, do you know that one, or choose this one. And I think it just, for me, works better. Do you know any of those words, Gav?
I do. I think I know all of those words. I don't know if I could describe them very well, but I could try.
Can you try and describe biodiversity? That's one I'm not exactly sure about.
I think biodiversity refers to the variety of animals or plants that you find in an area.
Right, so it's the mix of things in one place, perhaps.
In a particular habitat.
Mm. I know inadequate. I think that's when something isn't good enough or isn't enough of something.
So a lack of something. How about impacts? Because I think impacts means having a negative effect on something.
Yeah, it could be a noun or a verb here. Something impacts something else, but also the impacts. There are many impacts from, say, for example, having a new airport would impact the local environment. So there would be many impacts from that airport.
That is a good example. Vital suggests something that's really, really important, that I need it for my life or I need it in a specific situation.
Consumer, Gav, I think consumer is somebody who buys something and uses it.
Yeah, I think the using is key to being a consumer. The verb to contribute is about giving stuff. Contribute to a problem, you may contribute to the solution.
Very nice. Degradation is about something going downhill in a negative way, getting worse.
Like a stone rolling down the hill really fast?
No, more about something becoming broken or destroyed, I think. So I suppose if that stone is rolling down the hill would suffer from degradation.
Probably not the stone.
Maybe the stone, but the stone's probably harder than the hill. That just leaves infrastructure, Gav. What's that?
Infrastructure refers to the organisation of things. We could be talking about physical stuff, as you described, roads, supplying things, the physical transportation of something. I guess this would be the infrastructure.
Okay. It can also relate to hospitals, I think, and the police and community facilities.
So those are services.
Yeah, and they're all connected together and they all have to work to make a town or a city function properly.
That sounds a bit like systems.
I think it is a collection of systems.
Nice. Well done, Em. I think we defined those words fairly well. And followers, if you've downloaded the worksheet, go ahead and do exercise C. Now match the words with the definitions. And remember, when you're making your own worksheet, focus on the vocabulary that's going to come up later in the reading or listening task. Make sure your students understand what's coming next. So do some comprehension activities as we're doing today.
If we could just take a moment, Gav, to come away from the worksheet and talk about comprehension of these words. How would you perhaps go on a bit further and check your students have really understood what these words mean?
I would ask the student a closed question.
What's a closed question?
That would need a yes or no answer from the student, or only one simple answer I already know the answer to.
Right. For example?
For example, I would choose the word contribute, and I would ask the student the question, if I contribute to something, am I adding or taking away?
That's adding. And then maybe you would ask an open question, which is a question you don't know the answer to, usually starts with a what, how, where, who type question word. So I might say, how do you contribute to your community?
I contribute to my community by saying good morning every morning that I go out and see my neighbours. And on top of that, I make sure I recycle all of my waste, and also I don't litter, and I support my neighbours if they need any help.
That's great.
So that's an example of a CCQ.
It is. Comprehension checking questions.
That was a really good example. You started with a closed question, followed by an open question. And were you reassured by your student today?
I was, Gav. You proved to me that you know what you're talking about.
How could you be so certain?
Well, your answers were right, made sense, were logical.
So I clearly comprehended the new vocabulary and I gave you good examples in my answers. And this isn't only about vocabulary, it could be about grammar too.
Absolutely, Gav. It applies to everything we teach.
That's absolutely right. If I just remember yesterday, I was teaching the second conditional to my class, and we came up with the sentence, if I had a recycling centre nearby, I would recycle more often. Can you think of any CCQs to check the students understand that grammar, Em?
I would say, do you have a recycling centre near you?
I don't.
Can you recycle often?
Not as often as I would like to.
Okay, that's both closed questions. An open question, Gav?
I would reformulate the sentence to check the comprehension, Em, and I'd ask, if you had a recycling centre nearby, what would you recycle more often?
I would recycle paper and glass and plastic and clothes and even organic waste.
That is a very comprehensive answer. You clearly understood the grammar. You understood that it wasn't possible with your second conditional sentence, but if it was possible, then that's what you would recycle.
Good. Let's go back to our worksheet, Gav. Exercise D is we have three titles below. We need to read the titles, then listen to the recording and decide which title suits it best.
Shall we read the titles aloud? Number one, why are transportation systems vital to human survival?
Number two, understanding the dynamics of natural systems in relation to man-made systems.
Number three, man-made and natural systems, the interplay between progress and environmental harm.
Let's listen to Deanna's recording now and decide which title we think fits.
Let's begin our mini lesson. Man-made and natural systems surround us, each playing a vital role in our world. For instance, transportation systems like railroads, highways, airports, and shipping routes make global connection possible. In essence, transportation systems are the lifeblood of our global community, enabling human mobility or movement and facilitating commerce. But there are natural systems that are in place as well. And we can see now that we are bumping up against the limits of these natural systems. Besides the ecosystems I mentioned earlier, other natural systems include hydrologic systems, like the water cycles, and geological systems, like tectonic movements. And they exemplify nature's dynamic processes shaping our Earth. While man-made systems have undoubtedly facilitated significant progress, they've also been major contributors to environmental degradation. Transportation systems, for instance, contribute significantly to environmental harm. Cars, planes, and ships produce vast amounts of carbon dioxide and other harmful gases, contributing to air pollution and the greenhouse effect. Moreover, large-scale infrastructure projects can fragment habitats and disrupt wildlife, further compromising biodiversity. Industrial systems, too, emit high levels of greenhouse gases, contributing to global warming and climate change. This, in turn, leads to rising sea levels, extreme weather conditions, and biodiversity loss, disrupting ecosystems on a global scale. Furthermore, our consumption and waste management systems contribute negatively as well. The extraction of natural resources to fuel consumer demand often leads to habitat destruction and species loss. At the same time, our current recycling and waste disposal methods are inadequate, leading to pollution of land and water bodies and species loss. Ultimately, our man-made systems, while vital for societal progress, have had a profound negative impact on natural systems. It is our duty, then, as stewards and residents of the planet, to either fix the man-made systems we have in place or trash them altogether and start anew. Perhaps this second option seems extreme, but honestly, we're only just beginning to understand the true meaning of extreme.
Oh, there was a lot of information there. It was really, really interesting. I love learning about the environment, about systems. Focusing on the task, M, I don't think the title is Why Are Transportation Systems Vital to Human Survival? The recording wasn't focused on how vital these systems are.
It was definitely about transportation, but not about how important it is. I agree with you, Gav, not number one. What about number two, understanding the dynamics of natural systems in relation to man-made systems? Again, there was a lot of content about natural and man-made systems, but I didn't hear a lot of comparison, so I'm not sure it was in relation to. What do you think?
I agree. I did hear the word dynamic, but I don't think, as you said, it was about the similarities and differences, the connections between these two types of systems. Therefore, I am quite sure that number three, man-made and natural systems, the interplay between progress and environmental harm, is the title. These are key elements to the recording task we just did. Do you agree?
I agree, because Deanna mentioned a lot of examples about how transportation has improved our world, but also has had a negative effect. I definitely remember a lot of examples of that.
Me too.
So that was called a gist task, Gav.
A gist task?
Gist. What is gist?
Gist.
Do you get the gist of it?
Em, I tried to get a global view on the recording, although sometimes I was very fixed on the details because it was so interesting. But I got an overall view and I came up with number three as the title for me. But how did you get to your answer?
Yeah, exactly the same way. I just thought I wasn't really focusing on the details. I was just thinking generally, what is this about? And there was a lot of information, so I wasn't able to think about details. I was trying to follow it as a general idea. And then I looked back at the titles and I thought which one matched it best. I really had to think about the whole thing generally.
Mm. And how do our students benefit from that?
It's a bit less stressful, I think, to do it like that so that they're listening in a more relaxed way and getting an overview of something, which is a skill that you need when you're listening to something that's quite long or complicated. And of course, they would probably need to listen again to do detailed, specific listening, which is what comes next on the worksheet. Exercise F. We have 10 questions, very specific information that we need for answering these questions. And followers, please feel free to listen again to the recording and answer the questions, or do it with your students in the class. Gav, we should probably just do the first two to give our followers an example of these questions.
What is the first question, Em?
Number one, what are transportation systems and why are they important for global connection?
Some of the transportation systems that Deanna mentioned were highways, railroads, shipping routes, and airports help us get around and they connect people.
Good answer. What's question two, Gav?
Question two, what are some examples of natural systems and how do they shape our Earth?
If I remember the recording, some natural systems were hydraulic systems like water cycles, rivers, seas, and geological systems also like tectonic movements and how the land is shifting naturally.
Mm-hmm. Taking on a new shape. So followers, continue with the rest of that exercise, complete the 10 questions, and then check your answers in the key. And what's left to do? I think we've covered everything.
We have covered a lot. You've got some options. I think you could go back to the vocabulary at the beginning and ask the students to come up with examples connected to the recording, how Deanna talked about impact or infrastructure. You could actually go through the transcript and find those words and then see what they relate to and see if the students can remember and use them accordingly.
You could have a discussion on the topic in a more general way.
Yeah, that would naturally lead into your own opinions, how you feel about this topic.
How natural systems are playing a vital role in your life or the workings of your community or your country or the planet as a whole.
What kind of transportation systems you have in your local area, if you think they're having a positive or negative impact.
And can we adapt them or improve these systems so that they have less negative impact on the environment and possibly make them more efficient and save money? Fortunately, Deanna has made her own questions for us, Em. Should we have a listen?
Yes, Gav.
A few questions for you before you go that I encourage you to answer either in an audio clip or in written format that you can send to me at deanna@openshoresenglish.com. Question number one, what are some benefits and consequences of increased efficiency of transportation systems? Number two, what resources do we demand from our planet? And which of those resources will likely become unavailable within our lifetime if we do not take better care to conserve them? Number three, what do you believe will happen if human activity continues to disrupt the natural systems in place? Any further ideas are more than welcome. And again, thanks so much to Gavin M for welcoming me to the podcast. And I look forward to sharing more learning resources and insight soon.
Some great questions there. And as Deanna said, become part of the community. Send your answers to deanna@openshoresenglish.com and become part of the conversation.
Yes, some really thought-provoking questions there. And that's going to really open up the debate and the discussion, moving away from our simple closed questions to a much more engaging and rewarding conversations between the students, between the teacher, and between our community.
Gav, I think it's time for Learn a word.
And this week's word is...
There is no word.
No, because we've done loads of words. Just go back and do the words we did earlier.
Lots of words to learn today.
And a special thank you to Deanna for introducing this topic, a really important topic that we love discussing. And thank you to the followers for taking part in today's activity. Don't forget to use your comprehension questions in your activities.
Whatever activity you're doing, I think it's really worth remembering teachers and learners to check the comprehension. And thank you, Gav, for your fabulous worksheet. It's always a pleasure to get free resources from you. Thank you for that.
Feel free to use my resources anytime, and also, followers, check them out. Em, I'll catch you next time.
Bye for now.